When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Run with David Fowler, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve, for having me.
We had an election, and we know who the president of the U.S. is going to be, Donald Trump. And we want to talk a little bit about the global economy ahead. And I know it's still early, but we've sort of seen some pieces of plans that, that perhaps might be coming in the Trump administration, We've been hearing a lot about tariffs. Talk to us a little bit about the global economy and how it's perhaps getting prepared for that.
Well, I think the economy, the global economy has, you know, we're still seeing the kind of last remnants of COVID and its effects. But really what we've seen now is the move down from the high inflationary period that we had immediately post-COVID, partly due to increased money supply through government programs and partly because of the kinks within the supply chain that made certain products difficult to get, sort of temporary kind of artificial scarcity. Those seem to have been kind of cleared out of the system pretty well so far. And we have seen inflation coming down. If you look at, you know, for Europe, basically they're looking at inflationary levels of kind of 2-2.5%, roughly what we're seeing in the U.S. The Federal Reserve certainly is on a, or at least has been on a interest rate cutting program because they've seen inflation come down as well. So I think, to, you know, the election will change how people view the their economy, both within the U.S. and also externally, because obviously the U.S. is a major trading partner to a lot of places. And certainly, I think the idea of kind of a broad tariff approach will have an impact. It'll have an impact in Europe. It'll have an impact in Asia. It particularly, I think, will have an impact in China. And I think what we'll see from that is depending on how extensive the tariff program becomes and how the level of tariff charge, you may see what we saw in the 30s, the early 30s, which is the, you know, tit-for-tat trade war approach where you get, you know, the U.S. increases tariffs on certain products, for say, for example, you know, French wine. So what'll happen is, you know, probably happen is the EU will find something, American export, that they'll put a tariff on in response. And, you know, this can, it either be kind of one against one, or it can become a spiral. If it becomes a spiral, it becomes a real problem. If it's, you know, limited to kind of an effect and a response, it tends to be manageable. So, for example, under the previous Trump presidency, there were tariffs put on Chinese goods, certain Chinese goods. You know, the Chinese, you know, had some retaliatory measures, but ultimately, you know, this was something that it kind of, it didn't spiral, so it was manageable. I think the fear that a lot of people outside the U.S., well, not fear, but maybe concern that people have outside of the U.S., is that it's this tariff approach may be one where it becomes cumulative tariffs coming through. That could be a little tricky.
Let's talk about the global economy, just aside from the political part of this now. Moving on, talk to us a little bit about interest rate cuts. I know that we've seen the inflation come down. You've mentioned that, especially in the UK, seems to be under control. Is the global economy doing really well now, or how would you rate it right now?
I think it's doing actually pretty well. The one place where it's a little tricky, I think, is in China, and we've seen some changes in how the Chinese government is kind of maneuvering the economy in terms of much more, they've become much more expansionary in terms of money supply in particular. So, you know, what we've seen, because effectively, you know, China had this, it was like the workshop for the world before COVID. Then with COVID, you know, everything kind of went kind of wacky, as we all know. Didn't really come back the way the Chinese government, I think, hoped, because one of the things that was exposed is this idea of these long supply chains. Companies, you know, are now looking and have been looking to shorten those chains. So instead of having, you know, all your manufacturing operations, you know, 10,000 miles away, you really want to have them a lot closer. And they want to also have them in countries where they don't feel the governments are antagonistic towards them. So this kind of idea of friendshoring, which we've talked about before, and then nearshoring. So I think that trend is going to continue, and that doesn't help the Chinese. They also have significant issues in the property market because of the property boom that we saw here in the kind of 1990s and early 2000s is very much evident there. And it looks like, there is going to be a readjustment there, and that could be quite painful. If you look at other places, like if you look at the European Union, certainly inflation is coming down. Growth is not what they would like it to be. So I think you might just see a little slight push on interest rates lower in order to kind of nudge the economy up. But, there are various things that kind of are winners or losers. So, I don't know if people looked at 60 Minutes the other day, but, Ozempic is made by a Danish pharmaceutical company. This pharmaceutical company now has a bigger gross revenue than the GDP of Denmark. So, there are things that could help the European economy to an extent weather any kind of slowdown in terms of general growth. The UK, there's a new government. The new government is doing probably what's right politically. It's going to be difficult socially. They maintain that there was a £22 billion black hole in the UK economy that the previous government, the Conservatives, really didn't talk to anyone about. They're now making a big deal of we're going to tackle this. And I think from a political point of view, it makes sense because they have enormous majority. So they will run a 5-year term, which is the maximum, unless something really weird happens. And in that kind of case, get all the bad news out. Right. And then so that when you go to the polls, people don't remember all the kind of mean things you did at the beginning. Yeah. They just remember all the nice things you're going to do at the end. That, I think, is going to impact on a lot of aspects of both internal growth and also the ability of the UK to attract overseas investments, because they have done, for example, they've made employing people more expensive. There are going to be other taxes that are coming down the pike that, people... There's a certain element of uncertainty, which, as we've talked about many times before, business hates uncertainty. It doesn't matter if they like the regulation or don't. As long as they know what it is and they know it's going to be there for a while, they can deal with it. What they can't deal with is this constant changing, and it's going to be this, no, it's going to be that.
When you hear a forecast for 3% global growth, and this is, I think, a Reuters poll of about 500 economists, is 3% good? Is that a good number?
It's not bad, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad. The economists kind of like to have 5%. That's kind of like the magic number. And there's no real magic in that, so to speak. It's just that's what they kind of like. But if you have 3% growth and full employment, that's not bad. It's when you have 3.3% growth and high unemployment. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And unemployment levels are not high in most places in the world these days. Generally speaking, people can get jobs. Now, obviously, there's structural unemployment, which exists everywhere. But in general, most unemployment rates are sub 5% in most of the major economies.
This survey pointed at India as being one of the strong spots in the global economy.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the reasons that kind of makes sense, because what's been happening is there's been a switch. There was a switch going on anyway from China to India in terms of not so much the manufacturing jobs, but certainly the IT and kind of that type of intellectual property type jobs. That's been happening anyway. The Indian economy is doing quite well. It's a big place. There's a billion people there. It's a big domestic market. And what you've seen is a fairly dramatic shift in the economic demographics. So the middle class has really widened out. And there's, still quite a lot of pent-up demand for things in India from this middle class. So the Indian economy is going to remain fairly strong. Again, unemployment is not a problem, generally speaking, outside of the structural unemployment they have. And they've fairly much a kind of very pro-business type government that looks to be stable and probably in power for a number of years.
Talk to us a little bit about the interest rate climate globally. And you mentioned the UK earlier, the budget problems that they're having there and the issues that are coming. Do you see the Bank of England cutting rates, continuing to cut rates, or where do you think that's going to go?
I think prior to the budget that just came out, people thought the Bank of England might continue its downward pressure on interest rates. I think this budget has probably caused people to have another thought about that. So if you look at, for example, kind of longer term rates in the UK, you know, 10-year, 20-year, 30-year durations, they're kind of around 4.75%, 4.75%, which is probably about as low as they're going to get. At the very front end, you might see rates come down maybe once more, but a lot of the stuff in the budget has a potential to be inflationary. So I think the chances of any kind of massive continuous rate cutting, those days are done.
Yeah, and for investors who are here looking there, how does that impact their plays?
I think it's going to be difficult. And it's going to be difficult because, you know, as we talked about before, there's a certain element of uncertainty with the Labour government. A lot of things they said they would not do, they are now doing. They've explained that the reason is this, you know, black hole in the economy and their finances. But until that kind of evens out, I think, you know, people are going to be naturally nervous. It is costing people more because there was an increase in the employer side of national insurance. So it does cost more to employ people there now, which again is going to be an issue. And, you know, they're still not part of the European Union. They still don't have a trade agreement with the US, a free trade agreement with the US. So they're still, you know, these problems that they had under the old government are still there. So I don't think it's probably not the greatest location yet.
David, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Certainly, you can always get me at the desk. My email there is david.feller@associatedbank.com.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Take care.